Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com and Rational Radio 1360 AM in Dallas, Texas. A special shout out to my friends in Dallas. Well, I just finished my Myth America tour, my book tour. I was out in the country for 4 months. I just got back from Washington State, where we were having record temperatures up there. Everybody up there is dying. They're not used to that kind of heat. It's in the hundreds, 109 one day when I was in eastern Washington. So anyway, I'm back in California. I'm taking the entire month of August off traveling. I will still be doing Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, and we have some great guests coming up. But I'm also going to be writing a new edition of Myth America. My old edition was Myth America, the 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class, and I'm going to be writing Myth America 2, the 20 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. So we were supposed to have on Howard Zinn and actor Josh Brolin today to talk about the real history of the United States. And Josh Brolin, as you know, starred in that movie W. So we were going to talk about that and about the project that Howard and Josh worked closely on, The People Speak. But Howard is recovering from surgery, so we're going to have to reschedule him. But our show today, we're going to have on Fariba Safai. And Fariba is an Iranian-American who has relatives over in Iran who are participating in the Green Revolution. And we'll be talking about that democracy movement. We'll be talking about whether they should be working to install Mousavi instead of Ahmadinejad, where, you know, both men are just, you know, puppets and tools of the Ayatollahs of Iran. But also, there's Ayatollahs in Iran who really call the shots and give the people of Iran their options to vote on. And who are the Ayatollahs of America that give us our so-called choices for president? Are the Ayatollahs the Wall Street? Are they the bankers? Are they the corporate media? Are they the corporations? Well, you know, whoever the Ayatollahs of America are, we certainly don't get much of a choice when we vote for the highest office in America either. The only difference is when our elections are stolen, Americans don't so much care. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be talking to Fariba Safai about the Green Revolution movement. And you're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and we'll be right back.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. We're at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. We're at Rational Radio, 1360 AM in Dallas, Texas. And today we're on video. And my guest today, we're very honored to have in my studio today a San Francisco native. And her name is Fariba Safai. She's one of the coordinators. She's the NorCal coordinator. For those of you who don't know, NorCal means Northern California. Coordinator of United for Iran. And that website is unitedforiran.org. And her website is NorCal4Iran. And that's the number 4.com. Fariba, welcome to Cindy Sheehan
Soapbox. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Well, there's a lot of confusion in America about what's happening in Iran right now with the Green Revolution, with the elections. I was in Princeton not too long ago, Princeton, New Jersey, and somebody asked me about what was my thoughts of what was my opinion about what was happening. And I said, I can't really form an intelligent opinion because I'm not really sure what's happening. And there was a man from Iran there, and he has family there. And after my talk, he came up to me and said that was something smart to say because we're not exactly sure what is happening right now. So you are Iranian American, and you have family there. And I've invited you today to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox to tell us your perspective about what's happening and what you do here in America all around United for Iran.
Thank you, Cindy. What part would you like me to start with?
Well, I think it would be a good place to start with what, from your family's perspective, your perspective, mm-hmm. is actually happening in Iran right now.
Well, right now in Iran, there is a movement, they've called themselves the Green Movement, and it's the people that are backing Mousavi. And he was one of the choices that the government actually chose to be a president. And you realize that we are not a complete democracy, even
right.
though we declare to be. Mm-hmm. We are a democracy that is led by a hierarchy of mullahs that decide for us who can and cannot be president in our country.
Right.
After approving Mousavi as one of the candidates, they went ahead and allowed the people to vote. And as you know, the record right now stands as the people of Iran believe that the vote was stolen and it was a coup d'etat by Ahmadinejad. Mm-hmm. And they are not standing for it. And they're going out into streets every day protesting. And they, as you have seen, they say that they want their vote back because they believe this was basically a fraud.
Is the revolution popular? What I mean by that is it supported by a majority of Iranians?
Well, that's, you know, I suppose that can be a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In my belief, I believe that the majority of people in Iran right now are held prisoners by a government that is not for the people.
Right. Well, that's a larger issue that you're concerned about,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, you know, when I thought it was interesting when you said the mullahs pick who you can vote for, I think in our so-called democracy in America, oftentimes it's the, you know, the status quo. It's the corporatist. It's the media who actually chooses the people that we get to vote for. So there's like also, I think, an appearance of democracy in America, too. So you're here in America. You're an activist for your family. You're an activist for your people of Iran. And what are your goals here in America, being an Iranian American fighting for your people back home?
Well, at this point, right now, you know, as you know, we're putting on a rally on the 25th, which is tomorrow.
And actually, Saturday. when this show is on, the rally would have already happened. But
correct.
But tell us who's speaking, what your goals are, and how many people you expect, and things
course,
like that.
Of course, well, this is a global rally that we have organized, and not just me. This is many people, many students, people that live abroad and felt helpless after seeing the images on television of their loved ones or even people that they knew, neighbors, family, strangers being slaughtered on the streets just for the fact that they wanted to have free speech, right, to come out and protest in peaceful manners. Obviously, yes, I agree on the first thought of yours that even in America, in my country here, mm-hmm, there's issues with democracy. But when it goes down to the level where it's basic human rights issues, whether you can wear long hair,
right,
whether you can come out wearing a scarf or not wearing a scarf, depending on how you feel about it, even
right,
though these kids in the streets initially, and not just kids, these are young and old, poor and rich. This
right
is not a movement of just the middle class as the media has portrayed it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, everyone feels that they need to have that oppression lifted from the people. Basic human rights, that's all they're asking for right now. Freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and that is not what is given to them. So there is a different level that we're fighting for right now. And as far as what I do here with the organization, United for Iran, the global division, is right now we are having rallies tomorrow. Over 105 cities are participating worldwide.
Will there also be a rally in Tehran?
Yes, actually there
so
are people participating.
Solidarity,
yes,
with people in Iran?
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm, absolutely. And this is mainly for us Iranians abroad to send a message to the people in Iran that are trapped.
Mm-hmm.
To say, look, you have a voice outside of your country, global voice, because we all feel that pain. When one of us is killed, all of us are killed, as we feel the same way when one of us is hurt here.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of innocence should never be okay.
Do you think that our media has portrayed what's going on fairly in Iran?
I think it has, because the truth be told, we know for a fact that this is not anyone else's movement but the people of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually following suit to whatever their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to do whatever they want. No one wants any kind of a military intervention.
From the U.S.
From the U.S.
Or Israel.
Exactly. Right. Or others. What we would like is a United Nations delegation, a peacekeeping delegation, to go and mm-hmm oversee the political prisoners. Political. I mean, how political is it to go out and protest? It's not very political, but to them,
right,
you're a political prisoner.
Right.
Thousands right now in the prisons of Iran, all across the country, not just in Tehran. And these kids every day are being hung for wanting to just go out and say their piece. That
mm-hmm
it should not be the case in any country in the world.
Right.
So this is an issue for the United Nations to address.
Well, one thing that I do worry about with your government too, the United States government, with the hostile rhetoric that's been going on, you know, from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you know, Vice President Joe Biden and Israel, that the United States and Israel might use the supporting the Green Revolution in Iran as an excuse to go in, because you know that's what our countries of the United States and Israel have wanted for a long time.
Yes, of course. But here's the thing. This movement cannot be stopped. And even with the threat of being bombed, we do not want to be bombed because we will lose more people. I mean,
right,
who wants to stop something by killing more people? None of us do.
Already war-torn country.
In an already war-torn.
Yes.
We're in an 8-year war with Iraq,
right,
which at the time was backed by the U.S. And I have to say that war did dismay many Iranians against
mm-hmm
the West. And
right,
one of the problems we have right now is trust.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is, at the same time, we are under an oppressive regime that needs to be changed.
Okay, and when you say oppressive regime, you're not so much talking about, like you said, the people who you were allowed to vote for, Ahmadinejad or Mousavi. You're talking about the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs.
At this point, again, we're following suit with the people of Iran. What they say is our word.
Mm-hmm.
What they want is our action. And their action at this point is either a recount of the election,
mm-hmm,
another election under the watchful eye of the United Nations,
right,
or everything is legitimate, correct? Because if right. they cannot have some legitimate democracy, some form of it that they already have written down on paper, all they have to do is abide by their own law that was written down 30 years ago when they took over.
Right. You said something to me that was fascinating before we went on the air, that you were actually in Iran during the first revolution 30 years ago.
I was.
How was that? What was that like?
I was a young person during that revolution. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was the images that I see now are very reminiscent of those images that I had in the past.
Right.
And I have to tell you that those young people fought for democracy. They did not.
They didn't fight to install the Ayatollahs or a religious regime.
No, I believe, this is my own personal belief, that this was a coup d'etat. Once the revolution took place, they did a coup d'etat and they took over and they killed very of the many intellectuals and students that backed them. And just like today, they went to them, knocked on the door of their parents and asked for money for the bullet that they inserted in their bodies order for them to be released. So this is nothing new. And this is not some hoax that someone made up. This is the truth.
Well, we know back in the 50s that Mossadegh was overthrown with the help of the CIA. And then the Shah of Iran was installed with help of the USA. And that's what happened 30 years ago. The Shah was overthrown and the Ayatollahs were installed. Now, I have, read a lot about the elections and the Green Revolution and what's happening. And many people that I've read all over the world think that the CIA has some part in fomenting the Green Revolution. What's your opinion about that?
I absolutely disagree. Mm-hmm. This has been going on for 30 years. This is nothing new. 10 years ago, same scenario, in the streets, the kids protested. And when I say the kids, I mean the students of the universities.
The university students, yes.
The young people of our country, the to-be intellectuals. Mm-hmm. They protested, and once again, they killed them. They went into the dorms, and they slaughtered them. They took them to prisons. I know of people that were in those prisons for 6, 8, 10 years, tortured in the most horrific way you can imagine. Mm-hmm. This, you know what, maybe this is CIA's dream and maybe it's not. And I honestly would not know. But what I do know is that my people want freedom.
Well, and from what I can understand and what I know in my limited understanding of not actually being there is that the people of Iran would not be friendly if another U.S. puppet regime or an Israeli puppet regime was installed, that the people of Iran want their popular choice.
Absolutely. And that's why everyone's fighting for Mousavi right now, because maybe we don't all agree with Mousavi, but this is what the people want. So if the people want, our response to them is we will support you in whatever you want. Because obviously it is very difficult for someone like me who lives in the West, who enjoys the freedom of the West. And granted, it's limited in its own ways, but it's still much freer in their society to express to them what is right for them and wrong for them. At the end, it is their choice to decide. It is their president that has to be installed.
Well, and that's something that we've been very bad in the United States with accepting a popular choice. Like, one thing that's been happening during this whole Green Revolution in Iran is the Honduran coup, too. People in Honduras are standing up saying they want their president back. And I don't think that has been so well covered in our media as the Iranian revolution has been covered. So that's what makes me think that even though the people of Iran have a legitimate right to stand up, that it might also serve the interests of the United States.
Well, the thing is that if we as a majority of people in Iran come out and are able to express our voices, mm-hmm. certainly it is going to open the doors to the West. Now, is that a bad thing or a good thing? We don't know yet.
Right.
But we would like that choice, actually, because there's nothing worse than being like North Korea or China, where you're completely ousted from the rest of the world and you're mm-hmm. cut off.
Mm-hmm. You're very passionate about what you're stating and what you're saying, but it should be left up to the people. And the United States, Israel should not interfere in
Absolutely.
Whatever choice. But I'm thinking that Mousavi would not be the United States' choice, because
yeah.
didn't Mousavi like plan an attack on the U.S.?
I don't know about this, actually,
yeah.
Cindy, so I couldn't
yeah.
speak to you about that. Plan a U.S. against the U.S.?
Like
sure
on the
U,
on the coal, or was it on the coal, or was it?
Oh, I really
yeah.
don't know, too.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything about that. Whether it was Mousavi or people around him. Do you know, again, he's within a system
right.
that is somewhat corrupt. So it's very difficult to pull things apart and
right.
say whose fault was what.
Well, that's why the people need to be involved, because
yes.
many times, if not all the times, governments aren't there to serve the people. They're there to serve
exactly.
themselves. So that's why the people need to be more involved. I was helping in solidarity, and maybe you know a little bit about this. It's a little bit off topic, but it does have to do with people in Iran. I was standing in solidarity with some women from Iran who had been imprisoned, and they were tortured. They were imprisoned for trying to stand up for their rights. And so I was told by somebody with another opinion that women really don't have it that bad in Iran, and I shouldn't have been standing in solidarity
oh
with those
gosh.
Women. So what's your experience? And you know, this was an American woman who told me that. So what's your experience
of
with that? Yeah.
Of course, in America, you know, sadly, it's, I think there's a distance of, there's much confusion around Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Iranian women are very strong women, and if they have not proved that by now, if all you have to do is YouTube, some of the images are coming out of Iran
right.
to show you that they're willing to stand in front of bullets mm-hmm. and batons, metal batons at that.
Mm, right.
I had a phone call the other day that I listened to. A woman 66 years old was going out with two other women, one in that's 70 and the other one 77, mm-hmm. along the side of the kids that are the younger people that are out there. In solidarity, she said she had been beaten to the point where her skin is black, but she will fight because she's tired. She's sick and tired of this oppressive regime. How can you be a woman and not feel bad for the fact that you are told what to wear, how to dress, how to act? You have to be a virgin to get married. To reiterate on the torture,
uh-huh.
do you know that they will not allow a woman to die without being raped because they assume that she's a virgin and a virgin cannot die, so they must rape her and then kill her.
Wow.
So you tell me, is that a regime that's for women rights? Yes, Iranian women are strong women.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Shirzan. Shirzan means the lion woman.
Right.
We are strong, but at the same time, we are human, and we deserve basic human rights.
Well, I've actually been called that.
I bet you
so
have.
I think that's really
you
awesome.
You are one of us.
So, I suspected that wasn't true when they said women didn't have it so bad in Iran. So thank you for that viewpoint on that. In the time we have left, tell my listeners how they can get a hold of you, what they can do to support your cause. But also, I think what's really important is what can we do to really educate ourselves about what is really going on. And I'm going to be listening to you, but I'm going to be Googling that Mousavi thing while you're talking.
Certainly. Basically, right now, the best thing anyone can do is look into the global and the local divisions of United for Iran. The local division is norcalforiran.com, and the global division is unitedforiran.org. These organizations will post all reading materials that are necessary and needed, but anyone has to do is Google History of Iran. There's a gazillion sites that they can read for themselves to see what's truly going on in that country. And there's many viewpoints, obviously, because it's the internet.
Right. Well, and I think that's one thing that is so hard in this world of of information if you don't go out and look for information? Is it you only a lot of times get one side of the story?
Of course.
And so it's really good to present both sides of the story. And I do actually see that Mousavi ordered murders of U.S. troops. In that it was the bombing of the Marine barracks in Lebanon. So what do you think of course, we were talking about the U.S. and Israel really wants to invade Iran. I believe Iran was a target all along. And Iran, of course, is the strongest, would be the strongest in opposition to, you know, the Israeli hegemony in the region. And we're talking now, we talked about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction. Now we're talking about Iran wanting to have nuclear weapons. What do you think about all that rhetoric and people talking? Like you said, it's the axis of evil with North Korea and Iraq or whoever is in the axis of evil now.
Yes. Well, I personally, my personal opinion is I do not believe in nuclear weapons.
Right.
And I actually would like to see the world go the opposite direction.
Right.
So one less is okay with me. But here's the thing. At the same time, you have to understand nuclear weapons in the wrong hands can be quite terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just first let me, Cindy, address the Mousavi issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mousavi is the beacon of this movement right now for the Iranians.
Right.
But at the same time, he's not the all end. Mm-hmm. And from what we hear from the inside, they just are pushing towards some sort of a progressive movement.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to end with him, believe me. This is a movement that is going to and wants to have true democracy to its truest point you can get on this planet. Not, this is not about him strictly.
Right. No, no, I get that. You know, I get that it's a movement towards democracy and that you realize that the major stumbling blocks to that are the mullahs.
Yes.
And no, I understand that.
Yes.
And like, it's none of my business sitting here in San Francisco who the people of Iran vote for their president. So, no, I totally get that.
Well, the truth is, I think in an ideal world, many of us would like a secular country.
Right.
After all, we've been secular for 8,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the past 30 years this has happened to us.
Right.
So, obviously, that is our number one choice.
What would you tell in the remaining minutes that we have? Tell the people who listen to me about your country. I just interviewed Gore Vidal, and he says, you know, he's an American intellectual, and he says America is like the most uneducated country in the entire world. You know, he's an American, and we don't really reach out to other cultures. We don't want to understand other cultures. Now, I know many people approach me and say, well, you know, Cindy, we had to invade Iraq to free the women when the women were educated and they were professionals. Now we have to go in and bomb, you know, the living daylights out of Afghanistan to save the women. It's better to kill them and their children than for them to wear burqas, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about almost every country from Americans, not my listeners. My listeners are pretty smart about this. But what do you want people in America to know about, you know, you're the country where your parents were born and where where many members of your family and friends and, you know, country people still live?
First, I want people to know that Iranians are some of the sweetest and the most hospitable people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe Iranians like peace more than anything. And actually, it takes a lot for them to come out and do what they're doing right now,
uh-huh,
which is an act of defiance.
Right.
70% of the society within Tehran right now is educated, higher than a master's.
Mm-hmm.
There is 30% unemployment. The people are very well understood about what is happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
They are unable to get the word out and be able to have the word on the outside world. And this was a venue. This was a moment in history where, thank thankfully, because of the internet, because of cell phones, because of things like Twitter, mm-hmm. where people now are able to see what those people have been fighting for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. This is nothing new in Iran.
Right.
And Iranians do not want another war. The reason they come out and they probably could go get guns if they wanted to. There's a reason they're throwing rocks. They want a peaceful change.
Uh-huh.
They are not interested in any more blood. There's plenty of bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
We are tired of bloodshed. We want peace in our society. Iran wants peace with the world. The majority of Iranians want peace. I want the world to know that. Beyond that, it is the puppets that have been put upon us for every 30 years, if you look back, that this has happened to us. If they allow us to have some freedom of speech, to have some freedom of movement, some freedom of assembly, then we can choose our people, proper people, that would not harm others.
Uh-huh. Well, and it would be a movement and a choice of the people that really, like I said, is no business of the international community, what the people of Iran want for their country. But that brought up another question for me. In this movement, with the people going out that are really risking their lives for sure, and they're being imprisoned, and you say one of your demands on United for Iran is that you want the United Nations to step in. Can the United Nations go where the United Nations is not invited?
Well, that's the thing, is that if we can put pressure on the government to understand that what they're doing is wrong is a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we cannot do that without the help of the global community.
Mm-hmm.
We need everyone to write to the UN to ask for some sort of a pressure on Iran to make them understand that they need to have more peaceful means to their end. Initially, this is the least we can ask for right now, so that we can stop the killing. We can stop the torture of young people that are not deserving of this.
Has there been any movement from the UN towards anything like that?
No, nothing yet.
And what has the movement been from the United States government?
Nothing.
What cities are you having your rallies in tomorrow?
Well, San Francisco, of course,
right.
And New York, Chicago, Boston, Austin, it goes on and on. It's throughout the United States and throughout the globe. London, Paris, Germany, Holland, Amsterdam, many, many other cities and countries, over 105 cities across the world.
Are you having one in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And how many people do you estimate will be involved in the one here in San Francisco tomorrow?
We are expecting, because it's the one rally for the whole Bay Area,
uh-huh.
and we have been canvassing everyone and trying to get everyone involved. And there's so many people involved that are students and just local people that just wanted to help. That's
mm-hmm.
how we all showed up, and that's how we came together. And it's a very obvious, it's only been 3 weeks or almost a month of activism. It's just
right.
amazing
right.
that we were able mm-hmm. to do this. It's a precedent event that mm-hmm. it's taking place tomorrow. Also, it's the day of the inauguration of his presidency.
Uh-huh.
So this is a very important point for us to make in solidarity with the Iranian people. So about 20,000, we're hoping. But anywhere from, as Ross Mirkarimi says, who's also a member of our group,
right.
he says anywhere from 1 to 50,000.
And Ross is also a supervisor
yes, he is.
For the city and county of San Francisco. So what's your next steps after the rally, since this won't play on my show till
yes.
after the 25th?
Well, we are gathering again after the rally, the day after the rally, to come up with a plan of action.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we have no solid plans. We know that we will continue our fight
mm-hmm.
for the people of Iran. And it will not end. It will not end until the day they say to us that it's ended for them.
And one of the reasons, Fariba, that I became aware of you and your cause here is a poem that you wrote. And it's a rather long poem, so we can't read the entire poem here. But with your permission, I'd like to post it.
Okay,
so people can read it. But is there a part of it that you'd like to read to close this interview?
Sure, I would
okay.
love to.
And this is definitely coming from somebody who has a deep awareness and, you know, a deep compassion for what's happening. And that's what attracted my attention to you and your cause, because I have that deep compassion for humanity also.
I know that. That's why I like you, Cindy.
Okay.
Okay, let me see, where can I read for you? Maybe I could start here. This poem, I'm just going to read you the first part of it, actually, because it's the beginning, and it's a long poem. It's an 8-minute poem. So it's called I Smile, and it's dedicated to the beautiful and the brave people of Iran, young and old, rich and poor. I smile as I feel my lonely heart parched from a sea of green. I smile. I smile as I walk the mountain of apathy to create a tiny crack that I would tear open only if I could, only if I could, with my saber of love draped in black and green. I declare myself. Look at me. I need you. You need me too. I smile. I smile at your incomprehension, your fear, your pity, and your sympathy. I smile. I smile knowing that you cannot see we are one of the same flesh and blood, veins. I smile. I smile seeing you with your children, laughing, happy, knowing that they are cared for and well fed. I smile. I smile wishing others could have the same. I smile. I smile when you walk with me and say that you care, frustrated by the unknown. I smile. I smile, for I wish I could tell you that you will never know and we will die not knowing. I smile. I smile as I think of those beautiful young flowers that are perishing as I write in hopes of capturing their brave hearts. I smile. I smile through my tears for the human struggle for self-liberty and freedom from tyranny. I smile. I smile, for I know the colors of freedom is not always red, white, and blue. I smile. I smile listening at the bay speak to me in code, beating against the dark gray boulders, holding it back from me and me from you. I smile.
Oh, Fariba. That was Fariba Safai. She is one of the coordinators for...
NorCal for UnitedForIran.com.
And definitely a poet with a poet soul. So thank you for joining me today on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And good luck with your rally tomorrow. And hopefully you or Ross will be able to come on with an update and what the next plans of action are going to be for you. Good luck.
It will be our pleasure. Thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
That was Fariba Safai. When we come back, instead of my rant, I'll be reading a listener rant for you. So stay tuned to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan. We'll be right back after this break.
My name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet. Those who send their children off to die in robber class wars. Those who lack proper health care. Those who are denied decent education. And those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today I'll be reading a listener rant instead of my own rant. I'm going to be reading it from listener Craig Palmer from California. Craig is a supporter of the Soapbox. He supports it financially and with his moral support. So this is Craig's rant. We here in the U.S. and U.K., commonly known as U.S.-UK, always regret, but not really, the killing of so-called innocent civilians in our bogus war of terror. My friends tell me the killing of innocent civilians is now somewhere around 90%. However, in order to justify the large number of killings, we hear words like militants, insurgents, extremists, non-existent Al-Qaeda, terrible Taliban, terrorists, and so forth, as if to say, these human beings deserve to be murdered, maimed, and tortured. And Joe the plumber just nods in approval as he anxiously awaits his opportunity to vote for Sarah Palin in 2012. No different than Hitler invading Poland, every one of the millions of persons murdered, maimed, tortured, and displaced in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Gaza are innocent. We here in the U.S.-UK are the war criminals. We here are the ones who daily commit crimes against humanity in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Gaza. The invasion and occupation of Iraq continues to be an ongoing war crime. The invasion and occupation of Afghanistan continues to be an ongoing war crime. Our cowardly illegal drone strikes in Pakistan are to be despised by any decent human being with a conscience. Israel's cast lead, which resulted in the slaughter of more than 1,300 Gazans, was beyond a war crime, and all the people of the world are complicit for their silence, as we were told. There's only one president at a time. Who knows how long Israel would have continued their vicious war crime if it were not for Obama's inauguration. My father lived with General George S. Patton for 2 years while serving as Patton's personal valet, just like in the movie with George C. Scott. As a tank commander in Patton's Hell on Wheels tank corps, my father was shot in the neck by a German sniper, death from afar. Had my father received medical attention, he may have survived. But one must understand that he was dealing with rescuing his closest friends who were trapped inside a burning hunk of gas and metal. So yes, my father bled to death. I was 9 months old at the time. And now after all these years, to see the Nazis finally getting away with it, I always knew this was going to happen. Deutschland über alles has finally become a reality. Only now it is US-UK über alles. I always said the Nazis didn't lose the war. They just went underground. And guess what? They're back big time. So that was listener rant from a supporter and a friend of mine, Craig Palmer. Okay, our Ask Cindy question today is actually not a question, but it's a comment. I get so many negative, not comments, but attacks on me, people calling me bad names. And, you know, I read those negative attacks, and I answer them on the air, but today I wanted to answer or read an email from somebody who actually said something very sweet. This is from listener Candace Horowitz. Dear Cindy, I just want to tell you that you are a remarkable woman. You have been through so very much, and with each punch, you still come back again and again, and you don't give up. You are a true modern-day Joan of Arc or the Mother Teresa of peace. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for what you do and who you are. If only a fraction of we the people devoted as much care and concern for our world, we would not be in the mess we are in. Please know that there are so many people out here like myself that truly adore and admire your strength, courage, and fortitude. Thank you so much, Candace. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I am working on Myth America too, and Myth America is all about recreating community and, you know, getting up off of our couches or getting up out of our apathy or out of our frustration for not seeing that much change and actually trying to do something. And if we actually try to do something, then I give a money-back guarantee that we will make change and it will be positive change. So your soapbox action this week is to spread the news about the soapbox. Please send CindySheehanSoapbox.com to every person you know so we can really start spreading the news about truth and about justice and about what should be the real American way, and that's creating a better world for everybody, not just Americans. So that's the soapbox today. I'd like to thank, as always, my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my assistant producer, Mikey, Rational Radio, for putting me on the air in Dallas, my guest, Reba Safai, and you, the listener. Next week's scheduled will be Ron Kovic, who wrote Born on the 4th of July, the movie that won an Academy Award for Ron, and Manny Badillo from NYC Cannes. The ballot initiative in New York is trying to press for a valid investigation into 9/11. So thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week here at Cindy Sheehan Soapbox at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Thank you.
You know, I just want to say one brief thing about something the previous speaker said. I didn't want to spend too much time on that because I don't think it's important enough, but one thing is worth considering. He's the nominal head of an organization supposedly representative of the undergraduates, whereas in fact, under the Kerr directives, it derives its authority as delegated power from the administration. It's totally unrepresentative of the graduate students and TAs. But he made the following statement. I quote, "I would ask all those who are not definitely committed to the FSM cause to stay away from the demonstration." All right, now listen to this. "For all upper division students who are interested in alleviating the TA shortage problem, I would encourage you to offer your services to department chairmen and advisors." That has two things, a strike breaker and a fink. I'd like to say one other thing about a union problem. Upstairs, you may have noticed already on the second floor of Sproul Hall, locals 40 and 127 of the Painters Union are painting the inside of the second floor of Sproul Hall. Now, apparently that action had been planned sometime in the past. I've tried to contact those unions, unfortunately, and tears my heart out. They're as bureaucratized as the administration. It's difficult to get through to anyone in authority there. Very sad. We're still making an attempt. Those people up there have no desire to interfere with what we're doing. I would ask that they be considered and that they not be heckled in any way. And I think that, you know, while there's unfortunately no sense of solidarity at this point between unions and students, there at least need be no, you know, excessively hard feelings between the two groups. Now, there are at least two ways in which sit-ins and civil disobedience and whatever, at least two major ways in which it can occur. One, when a law exists, is promulgated, which is totally unacceptable to people, and they violate it again and again and again till it's rescinded, appealed. All right. But there's another way. There's another way. Sometimes the form of the law is such to render impossible its effective violation as a method to have it repealed. Sometimes the grievances of people extend more than just the law, extend to a whole mode of arbitrary power, a whole mode of arbitrary exercise of arbitrary power. And that's what we have here. We have an autocracy which runs this university. It's managed. We were told the following. If President Kerr actually tried to get something more liberal out of the regents in his telephone conversations, why didn't he make some public statement to that effect? And the answer we received from a well-meaning liberal was the following. He said, "Would you ever imagine the manager of a firm making a statement publicly in opposition to his board of directors?" That's the answer. Well, I ask you to consider, if this is a firm, and if the Board of Regents are the Board of Directors, and if President Kerr, in fact, is the manager, then I tell you something, the faculty are a bunch of employees, and we're the raw materials, but we're a bunch of raw materials that don't mean to have any process upon us, don't mean to be made into any product, don't mean to end up being bought by some clients of the university, be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. We're human beings. And that brings me to the second mode of civil disobedience. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. That doesn't mean, and it will be interpreted to mean, unfortunately, by the bigots who run the Examiner, for example. That doesn't mean that you have to break anything. 1,000 people sitting down someplace, not letting anybody buy, not letting anything happen, can stop any machine, including this machine, and it will stop. We're going to do the following. And the greater the number of people, the safer they'll be, and the more effective it will be. We're going, once again, to march up to the second floor of Sproul Hall. And we're going to conduct our lives for a while in the second floor of Sproul Hall. We'll show movies, for example. We tried to get Enchant d'Amour. Unfortunately, that's tied up in the court because of a lot of squeamish moral mothers for a moral America and other people on the outside. The same people who get all their ideas out of the San Francisco Examiner. Sad, sad. But Mr. Landau has gotten us some other films. Likewise, we'll do something which hasn't occurred at this university in a good long time. We're going to have real classes up there. There are going to be freedom schools conducted up there. We're going to have classes on the First and 14th Amendments. We're going to spend our time learning about the things this university is afraid that we know. We're going to learn about freedom up there, and we're going to learn by doing.